Welcome to AU to AZ, episode number 16. We have today an old debate with a new twist. And joining me is my wonderful and lovely co-host, Jennifer Ashby.
Hello, Roddy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fairly warm. We're in summer and it's, 35 plus bushfires, summer. What about you?
Awful. Well, we are in the we're in the mid-50s in Fahrenheit and actually coming from a cold snap. There for a couple of days, it was rainy and below 50 as a high. Mm. That was kind of chilly for us.
Yeah.
I say class and you say?
Class.
I say AZ merit and you say?
NAPLAN.
I say Common Core and you say?
Australian Curriculum.
I say elementary and you say?
Primary.
But we both say?
Learning. Almost got it. And learning has been continuing on, hasn't it, Rodney? Although we've been on holidays.
We have been on holidays, but our learning has not stopped. I think that's one of the really neat things that we have in common is that we're always looking for something new, something else to do, and something else to learn so we can pass it on and to share with others.
Yeah, that's right. And looking at different perspectives on things too is quite interesting, isn't it? Seeing how other people think about things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like lots of people's different reflections on 2014 and what they've been saying about the year, how it went, and their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. Did you write one?
I did write one, but I didn't yet post it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I was doing it on my iPad or something and it got too difficult, so I saved it. Then I thought I'll go on my laptop and actually finish it properly.
Uh-huh.
So I need to do that, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Mm.
I posted mine.
You did? Well, we'll have to put the link in the podcast.
I did, yeah. I will make sure that I do that so that way we can share it. But I do know that we will we're also going to have to get yours.
Yeah, well, I'll try and finish it today so we can put the link out with this podcast. Mine was on my blog that is really neglected. How's your blog? Was it neglected?
It is. The last time that I posted something was back in April 2014.
I beat you. I think mine was May. Mine was May, so I'm a little bit more recent than yours.
Wow. Okay. It's no problem.
See, blogging is just one form of reflection, though, because not everyone does a blog. People reflect in different ways, like we do our podcast.
Yes, I that's why I love our podcast.
So that's one way of doing it, but we probably don't do that as often as we should either. So I guess blogging, you can do it whenever you like.
But you know what? We will get better at it. We will definitely get better at it. So along with getting our resolutions up and going and doing those different things, what else do you have that are there? Can we get a sneak peek of them maybe?
You want me to give you a little preview?
Yes.
Of 14 or 15?
Well, did you accomplish everything you wanted to in 2014?
Oh, I had a really hard year in 2014. Lots of things happening. When you read my list of things that we had to do at my school, you'll think, how did they do this in that short amount of time? But I did accomplish some really good things like Minecraft, getting Minecraft going in the school. That was really good. Continuing on with Google Apps for Education in the school. Getting teachers using Twitter in their classes. That's been really good. So I had a few really good wins. So that was great. And basically that next, really my 15 resolution is basically to continue to get kids connected to school and to learning.
And
by providing different things that will connect them and provide connections for them, which may not necessarily be academics.
Well, that's one of the things that happens.
What about you, Rodney? Sneak preview?
For 14 or for 15?
14.
I had a really great 2014.
Yeah.
But I think that was into, I think that was to counter all of the awful stuff that was happening, other stuff that was happening. But I know that I had a time that was actually better professionally than I've ever seen before. Mm. I've learned a whole bunch of new stuff personally. So, you know, 2015 has set me up to be an application year. You know, I think that's how I'm going to say it. It's an application. Oh. I've learned a lot of theory, a lot of skills, and now it's time for application.
Oh, I thought you meant making an application for a new job. No?
I'm not saying that.
Applying what you learned.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Applying what I know, application of all the theories and the learning experiences and the networking, applying all of those wonderful things.
Well, that's great. Yeah, using what you learn is good because sometimes you go away and learn a whole lot of things, but you don't get to use them. So if you can use them, that's great. Mm.
I think that's the important part that we have to remember is we may learn a lot of stuff, but we have to apply. We have to apply it somehow in some way. If not, then it's going to go away.
It's like when you go to a conference and you come back from the conference, and what do you actually do from what you learned at the conference, or do you just sort of take it all in and then go on with whatever?
Right. And I think it's important that people – one of the things that I've been reading a lot about in professional development is giving people time to play. If you don't give them time to play, then they're going to lose what you've told them. They're going to lose any skills that you've tried to help them to understand a little bit about. And if you don't play with it, then it's just going to go out the window.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to have time where you can actually play with it and not be worried about the outcome.
Right. So with that, I have a little brief story. I got an email today from a teacher. She was really excited because she was a part of my professional development this past semester. And I told the teachers about Donors Choose. Well, the reason why I brought it up is because a lot of teachers were getting technology and that was that they were bringing to their classrooms, and they needed to know what the district protocol was. So I talked about the protocol. There was a little bit of pushback and things like that, but you know, we worked through it. I got an email today that said, "Hey, thank you so very much for talking to us about Donors Choose. I had a project that I submitted and it's already fully funded."
Wow.
it was really awesome because the teacher had asked for some information about a project for a carpet, and it was a carpet for the kids to sit on in her classroom so that way they could have center time. And you know, she asked for it, and the carpet was over $600, and you know, people funded it.
Wow.
Like, hey, this is going to be a great thing. She's a first grade teacher, so you know, their carpet time is very important to them.
It is, yeah.
So she was really excited, and she sent me an email saying, "Thank you so very much." So, you know, it's about making it even more pleasurable for the teachers.
Yeah.
Accessible, as well as, you know, opens doors. It opens doors and it opens communication and networks that she will now have with those corporations, and an even deeper communication with her or a connection with her donors.
Yeah, so what sort of donors did she get? Do you find that out?
She said two of them were her family members and the others were corporations.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great, isn't it? So corporations must be looking on those sites to see where they can do something. Mm.
You're right. Right. And, you know, it didn't have to go through IT. We didn't have to check and make sure that it connects to our network or anything like that.
Mm.
But it's going to be good.
That's great, isn't it?
I'm going to go see her.
Yeah. It's like Kickstarters, things that get put on Kickstarters and they put up how much they're needing or whatever. And then they just end up getting massive amounts more than they need. You know, some of these Kickstarter things, they might have wanted 15,000 and they end up with 75,000 or even more, or even more. They're amazing.
That is absolutely amazing that they do that.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, how can we fund education? How can we fund education in such a way that we would be able to say, hey, these are really good pedagogies. These are great strategies. Will you help me teach them to children? Mm. Now, with that said, I understand that there are different policies and laws in place and statutes. So just being able to fund the things that are needed in the classroom is probably a great way to get the materials and resources that are needed in a classroom.
Yeah, your funding is a lot different in the US to Australia.
Okay.
Because our students are funded per student.
Uh-huh.
Per year. So it's so many $1,000s per year you get for each student. So your funding is directly relevant to how many students you have in your school. And that gives you your right. total budget, and then everything's worked out from there. Hmm.
Huh. Ours is kind of like that also. We try to make sure that we have students in our classrooms, but I can guarantee you I don't know how much we get per student, but it becomes really complicated. And then it goes to the school district, which then gives it to the school. Some of it goes to the schools, another goes to overhead and salaries and things like that. So by the time it reaches the actual site itself, it's not a large bit of money.
See, all our salaries and things are done from the school, because the money comes directly to us and our school. Between our principal and school council, work out the budget and everything for the school. So that's good. I guess it's like your schools. What do you call them over there? Those schools that are...
school district? School board?
No, the ones that have sort of gone out by themselves, autonomous.
Charter schools.
Yeah, charter schools. We must be a bit like charter schools, aren't we?
A little bit, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
So today's debate, an old debate with a new twist, Rodney.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So, Rodney.
So for Christmas, I was gifted a MacBook Air.
Actually
I was trying to see what the benefits were to that or a Chromebook.
So you organized this present just so you could do that. How good of you, Rodney. I must tell my relatives that next time. Now I need this because I'm going to be comparing it, and they can all chip in and buy it for me. That's why I need a MacBook Air. So you've got your MacBook Air, and how long have you had your Chromebook?
I've had my Chromebook for 4 years.
Yeah, since it came out, the original Chromebook.
No, the second iteration of the Samsung.
Okay.
So, it's the one that looks a lot like a MacBook.
Of course it would. It's silver a Samsung. Color. That's what you get with Samsung. Hey.
Copycats, huh? Just for you, just for those of you that are not familiar with our back and forth, there will be a lot of digs against Apple and a lot of digs against Android, just so you know.
Really? No. Couldn't be.
So anyway, we created a table that will help us to understand a little bit more of what they are. Both of them, I realize, are ultra portable. With your MacBook Air, you can use it off the internet because you can download things onto it because it has an SSD drive, a solid state drive, which you would be able to download things, and so it has programs.
Not a huge for drive, a Chromebook. Though, is it? Not a huge drive because you get, 64 gigabytes? What, how many have you
Not
got?
A huge drive.
What have you got?
Well, she's making me go into my settings to see how much actually I have.
Yeah, what did they get?
I'm trying to get there. Wow. I have 120 gig. Well,
128?
128 gigabytes, yeah.
Yep. Okay. What's the Chromebook got?
Well, I don't know because it's not
that. I guess, does it depend on the model? Do some have more than others?
You know what? It really does depend upon the model. The one that I had is 16 gigabytes.
Yeah, that's what I looked up and it said 16.
what I put in is I put in an SD card and I put in another 16 gig. So mine was 32 gigabytes.
So does your SD card just go in where the SD card slot is? And then you just use that for storing things on?
I do.
Can you run applications from the SD drive?
You know what? It depends upon the application. There were some that I could, but I could not load I can't load your normal programs like, say, for instance, I'm trying to think of one, Windows. I couldn't load Windows, Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
I couldn't load.
Is there Office for Chromebooks?
There is, but it's online.
Oh, yeah. So it's Google Docs. Is that Google Docs? No.
Right.
Is it 365?
Office no.
365 because it's web-based or no?
It would be called OneDrive, and you can sign OneDrive, up for a free account.
Right. Yeah, OneDrive, yeah, that's what it is. Hmm. So right, you still have to be online. You couldn't work. Could you work offline?
Yes.
You could?
You can work off. Yes, I could work offline, and then once it got a internet signal or Wi-Fi, it would connect and it would sync.
Right. Okay.
So there was some offline internet use, but it was program and application specific.
Yep. On your Chromebook, can you have different users?
Yes, you can. You can have multiple users.
Yeah.
But when you sign up onto the Chromebook, you have to make sure that you have an internet. You have internet capability. Because if you don't, then you would just be simply going into a guest account. And you would have to wait for it to authenticate to the with the Google server.
So if you had four different people using it and each person put their own Google account into their settings, when they log in as them, they get all their things come up. That's what happens?
Yes.
But you have to be on the internet.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was really neat because you would have the opportunity to use a single device for as many people as you wanted.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, in my district, we have a security system that's set up where you had to have a certain certificate, and the certificate had to be loaded onto the device itself.
Yeah.
With that said, the Chromebooks had an issue. The owner of the first person who signed into the Chromebook, which became the manager, the administrator of the Chromebook, was the only one that could download the certificate. Every other person could not download the certificate, and it would not authenticate to their Google account.
Right.
So that costs. You couldn't use it as a multi-user device.
Did they get a workaround, or they're still looking at it?
The workaround is to make it a one-to-one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the only way is to make it one-to-one. I guess they're really cheap anyway, so that you could do that.
Right.
Could you? Or?
Right. So the other workaround that was created was that since I'm the GAFE administrator for our district, I created an account specifically for those Chromebooks and provided the teacher who were using those Chromebooks with an account through our district and with an account and the password so she can give the kids access to those. We have all the features enabled except for Gmail.
Yep. Does Google Apps for Education work on them? Can they just log in as a different user and use it like that with their Google Apps for Education sign-in?
No, you can't. The reason why you can't is because, again, it's using the Google servers just to sign on to the account. And anything that is Google, that goes through Google, has to have has to go through the certificate in our district. So
well,
if it doesn't,
that's a bit tricky, isn't it?
It was very tricky. That's why I made it. That's why the administrator on the computer was that one account that I made in our district. The one account that I made for that specific Chromebook. So they're labeled by the Chromebook, and they have their specific passwords, and that's what the teachers will give to the students.
What about CD-ROM drives? You get a drive on there at all?
No.
No, they don't have one on the MacBook Air either. And do you actually use CDs anymore?
I use CDs in my car.
Yeah? Really?
I play DVDs.
Yeah?
I play DVDs at home.
People use DVDs more to watch movies and things, but still then a lot of people just download it now and you know, bypass DVDs even, don't they?
Yeah, and some people even like to use paper still.
To watch movies with?
To write notes on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But drives are, you know, CD drives are not on the MacBook Air either, and the Education Department of Victoria here, when you get your new department laptop, when you go on a new lease for one, they are now issuing you with a DVD drive. So you can play DVDs on an external drive that you can plug into your MacBook Air and then use CDs or DVDs.
Huh.
Probably because they still make things on those, using those things. So if you want to look at something they've produced, maybe it's going to be on a CD, I don't know, but or maybe just because they think people still want it.
Probably so. I do not use CDs to load programs or things like that.
No.
I simply go find it and download it.
Yeah, because everything's either in the Mac store or online somewhere and you download it, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, I don't really look at DVDs very much either. I'm not usually on YouTube or in the iTunes store or somewhere like that to get a movie or something. So, What about the battery life? How did the battery life go on the Chromebooks?
The battery life was absolutely awesome. I could go all day. I took mine to ISTE, San Antonio, and also to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the battery would last me all day long.
I guess it depends what you're doing on it.
Right.
Because you're only limited to so many things. You wouldn't be doing movies on it, would you?
No. I wouldn't do movies because I'm in conferences and things like that. But again, I would have several windows open and several tabs, lots of tabs actually. I mean, like right now I got 11 tabs open.
when you used it at conferences, were you on the internet?
Yes, ma'am. You were? I was on the internet, and so constantly refreshing, looking up things, typing in things, and just doing research and having the back channels going.
So if I guess everyone was, whether they're on a MacBook Air or a Chromebook or they're on a tablet, you want to be online, don't you?
Yes, you do. You definitely do.
Which is a problem, can be a problem at some conferences when people have got three devices going.
Huge problem.
Huge problem. Yes.
There has not been a conference that I've been at that they have not said, hey, please only connect one device to our network.
Yeah, no, they're all saying that now. It took them a while to realize that was happening, I must say.
Right.
They didn't realize it. Right. They thought, this is strange. It all worked fine yesterday. And then today it's swamped. There's only this many people here. Yes.
Well, this summer I was actually on a I was at a conference and they said that they were trying to – no, it was in Flagstaff. And they were trying to figure out why the network kept crashing.
Yeah.
And so I said, how many people are trying to get on? And they said, well, about 500. I said, there's your problem because you only have 256 IP addresses. So if you take your IP addresses and you double it, then you would have – you would have – oh, wow. 512. You would have 512.
Yeah.
But so they did it. They doubled it to 512. But then people realized, oh, I can get another device and put that on. So they would have to double it again. So the conference we were at, we had to do a little bit of networking and systems management. So it was actually an issue they had never, ever had before. So I just figured that, you know, it's going to be pretty cool. So the battery life was absolutely awesome on my Chromebook. I have yet to test it on my Mac. I
wonder why it says 5 hours. When you look it up, it says 5 hours.
Well, you know what? I think it depends on which Chromebook you're talking about. There are some that are resource hogs.
Yeah.
And there are some that are not. Mine was consistently 6, 7, 8 hours. About 7.5 hours is about what mine would do.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it wasn't any small things that I was doing.
And I guess, you know, you think of Chromebooks and there are lots of different brands of Chromebooks. So when you're talking Chromebook, you're really just talking the operating system?
If you're talking Chromebook, I'm talking, yeah, you're basically talking about the operating system, the Chrome OS, yeah.
Because how many different brands are there of Chromebooks?
Oh, wow. Acer, Asus, Samsung, Linux.
Google?
There's lots of different.
There's a Google Chromebook.
There's lots of.
Isn't there?
There's lots of different versions.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's one that's specifically Google. They've basically passed out the Chrome OS.
Oh, I thought Google actually made their own. Didn't they?
They probably did in the very beginning.
Oh, and you think they've given up on it? Let's see. I don't know about that. I thought Google had made their new Chromebooks and were right into it. Chromebook official site. Buy now. It says buy now. You can buy one right now.
What are they?
For everyone. Chromebook. The Chromebook family. There it is.
Buy now. But what are they?
They're Chromebooks and it's got Chrome on the screen. Find a retailer for a Chromebook today.
Exactly. It's a retailer.
Chrome.
You'd have to find the retailer.
Chromium. Chrome. What doesn't have any other brand on it? And it's Chrome with the Google symbol on it for Chromebooks. Oh, it's got Acer, all Chromebooks features.
There you go.
Maybe that's...
There you go.
For the best of Google. It's funny how they don't really say the brand. Oh, look, it's got Toshiba, Lenovo, HP, Toshiba.
There you go.
Oh, look, lots of them, aren't there? Acer.
Yes, there are.
HP Chromebook 11, and then there's HP Chromebook 14. I guess they're just different sizes.
Uh-huh. Yes, they are.
So there must have been, and actually, that's for sure Google had their own. You don't think they do have their own?
Well, you know what? There is one called the Google Chromebook Pixel.
Okay, yeah.
It has a very high resolution, 2560 by 1700, a multi-touch glass screen. It's really thin. It's machined, full metal enclosure. It has a terabyte of Google Drive, free for 3 years.
Wow, how much is that?
The Wi-Fi is $12.99.
Yeah.
And the LTE is $14.49.
Oh, okay. It's a little bit more expensive. What was the brand again?
It's called a Chromebook Pixel.
Right. It sounds like one of those. Does the top swivel around? So it becomes a tablet?
No. Oh, okay. No, it does not.
Oh, I must be thinking of something else.
But it's in direct competition with the MacBook.
It's got a touch screen though, hasn't it?
Yes, it does.
You better type that into the show notes so we can look at that.
Oh, the Chromebook Pixel?
Yeah.
Sure. I will make sure that people have an opportunity to see that wonderful tablet. Chromebook.
Pixel. It's not a tablet.
Yes, it's essentially a laptop.
Yeah, it's a laptop.
So,
yeah.
But I also noticed that it is much more. It's very intensive.
It's a very thick.
And I think it's
very thick.
No, it's not.
Is it how thick is it? It looks a lot thicker than a MacBook Air or even a Samsung Chromebook.
Oh, it is because it's in direct competition with the MacBook.
Right. Oh, MacBook, not a MacBook Air.
Nope, MacBook.
I see. Yeah, that looks very thick. The screen looks very thick, doesn't it? But it's a touch screen, isn't it? I just don't know why Apple don't bring out a touch screen laptop. Why do you think they're not doing that? It just seems obvious.
I don't know.
It seems the obvious thing they haven't got. And I mean, when you use your iPad for a long time and use it regularly, you do come on your laptop and you touch the screen.
Yes, you do.
And you just do it and you think, oh, no, that's not working. What am I doing? I'm on the wrong device. That happens a lot, doesn't it? Hmm.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I went to Miami Device and I had the opportunity to use a Chromebook, a touchscreen Chromebook that was lent to me by Craig Yin.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was really awesome.
You like it?
But again, I did like it, but it was weird touching a a screen on a laptop screen, and it was actually working. So I touched it a couple of times when I really didn't want to use the mouse pad, but I was still able to touch the screen and to keep navigating. So I could get used to it, but I think it would take me a little while to do that.
I think I did at one stage read something from Apple about it where they stated that because you're touching a screen that is vertical, it is actually ergonomically, after a while, you would have a lot of strains from it. Whereas when you're touching a horizontal screen, as in a tablet, it is different. And that was the thinking in not making their screens touch. We'll see if they stick to it.
Yes, we'll have to see if they stick to it. But we'll also have to see how popular the touch screens become in Chromebooks.
Yeah, see how much, how good they are and whatever, yeah. So the screen specs of the Chromebook versus the MacBook Air, they didn't seem to be all that different. But
nope, they're not.
They said the screen on the MacBook Air was a lot lighter and clearer to see, which is funny. If they've got the same specs, why would that be?
I think it's based upon the pixels.
Oh, it looked like they had the same number of pixels to me. I looked at it. Maybe it's because of the different thing they've got on the MacBook Air.
You know what? I really couldn't tell you because I've really enjoyed the MacBook Air and the crispness of seeing things.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you get really used to it, and then even if I go on a Windows laptop or some other one, you're looking for the brightness button, and then you find it is on bright, and you're like, oh, I must be going blind. Not seeing very well on this laptop. Because they are really bright and easy to see, aren't they?
They are. They are really bright and easy to see.
So what, would you give a tick for the MacBook Air on the better screen?
I would. I would actually do that. But again, I'm on a MacBook Air that is about 4 years newer. Excuse me.
Than your
Chromebook. About 4 years newer than my Chromebook.
Yeah, then maybe there's a better Chromebook now. Yeah, we're not comparing it to a new one, are we?
No, we're not.
But let's look at the price. We know there's going to be a big price difference.
And what's that price difference?
What's a Chromebook over there worth? Can you get one for $250, $300?
Well, interesting you asked me that. Mine that I got was $249.
Okay.
I got it for $249, and let me tell you, it was out of stock.
Yeah.
When I ordered it, it was out of stock. And people were clamoring to get it.
Yeah.
So $249, $300, $350 is about $400 is what it runs right now.
Yeah.
And that gets you. You know, it gets you a really decent computer, device.
Yeah, we see you're looking around $900, $1,000, depending if you get an education discount or not, on the MacBook Air.
Right.
So I don't know what they are over there. Are they cheaper over there? Yeah, you usually think Apple things are cheaper in the US. Because you're so much closer to China, aren't you?
Wink, wink. Of course it is. Of course we are.
Yes.
Maybe economically, but I think it is a little bit less expensive here.
Yeah.
But even then, you're still running a MacBook Air. You're still running pretty close to $1,000.
Yeah. So can you make really good movies on your Chromebook?
Well, yes, you can. You'd have to use the internet and the apps and extensions that are available to you.
And how do you find movies travel over the internet?
You know, it depends upon your bandwidth.
So if you're in a school, how do you reckon that'd go?
In my school district, it would be just fine because we have a really, really big, really good bandwidth is what we have really good bandwidth.
So if a class full of them and they were all doing movies over the internet, you reckon it would run well?
I think it would run better than 75% of other schools.
There's a good challenge, isn't it? That'd be a challenge, wouldn't it? To get have all the Chromebooks fired up and all the kids. So have Chromebooks got cameras? They do, don't they?
They do have cameras.
Front and back and facing?
No, just front facing.
Okay. What about your MacBook Air?
It's only have front facing.
It's only front facing as well? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. What about the camera specs? Are they any different?
You know, as far as the cameras are concerned, I'm not really concerned.
Yeah? You haven't tried it out?
And the reason why I haven't looked at it, and the reason why is because I know that the camera that I use, I will say this. The MacBook Air camera is a lot better. It's a lot crisper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more, it's a lot better.
And you can take stills and video on the Chromebook?
Yes, you can. You can do both also. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
You'd have to have a special app or an extension to do that, but you can.
Right, a special app or extension. Mm-hmm. Do you need to get a special app or extension on the MacBook Air?
No, because it's already built in.
Right, built in.
With photos.
Mm. So if you were going to be doing a lot of movies and things, which one do you think you would want to use?
Don't you just love these leading questions that she's giving me?
Well, got to be honest about this.
I think that no, I don't think I know.
Yeah.
My MacBook came with the iMovie, iTunes. It came with the GarageBand and Keynote.
Really?
And those were and Yosemite.
What a suite there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. So if I were to make a movie, I would actually use my MacBook.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll be waiting for your movies to come out. I guess they'll be released in 2015.
Yes, they will be released in 2015.
Right. Okay. So what about emailing, browsing, writing? I guess you can do all those things pretty well on your Chromebook.
Absolutely. There's really no difference.
Yeah. Just the same as, say, if you're on an iPad, you can do those things very well on an iPad.
Yeah.
And
now, with that said, there is a feature that I've actually enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
And that feature is called
on what?
Messages on the Mac, on the MacBook.
Oh, on the MacBook, right.
It's called Messages. And the reason why I like it is because I can use a feature called Jabber.
Mm-hmm. iMessages.
I don't know if I call it iMessages.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually not communicating with people who have iPhones.
No.
No, I've actually created an account and I've added into the account Google, Google accounts, and I've also added in I've added in my Google accounts, and then that way it uses the messages to send me I can communicate with people. So all of my SMS messages, all of my Google Hangouts are also inside of this application.
Mm.
I can send text messages. So
it's pretty cool, isn't it? Mm.
It is. It is.
Have you got that?
That got me.
Yeah, and you can just be doing it on not have to bring your phone or anything.
Absolutely.
So the old days of banning phones.
It's pretty much gone.
It's probably just another one of those things that doesn't work anymore.
Probably not. Mm. My only issue, though, is that I'm not seeing both. I'm not seeing both. No, I do. I'm sorry. I do see both sides of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
So yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a good thing. And if you're in an area where there's not much 3G or 4G or whatever, you've still got Wi-Fi.
Right.
It means you can still you can still communicate via Wi-Fi. And
that's
Do you have many areas like that in Arizona?
That I can get Wi-Fi?
Where there's not very good connectivity for your 3G or 4G networks.
You know what? It, It depends upon your cell service provider, your internet provider. There are some that are really good.
Yeah.
And there are some that are not really good.
Yeah. So it all depends on that. Yeah, it does.
Right.
Well, Wi-Fi is a savior for me in lots of places because we have lots of, we call it black holes.
Yeah.
Black holes where there is no service provider. Because I've got one, my phone is on one provider and my iPad is on another provider, both through 3G. And, you know, I can go to some areas where none of them work, but most other areas, either one of them will work. So I can use this one or that one. So, and with iMessage, you know, even on my iPad, I can use that.
That is really cool that you can do that.
That's good. It keeps you in contact. And a place of all places where I use it a lot is at school, because at school, the area where my school is doesn't have a huge amount of broadband connections. It's one of those areas that has built up lots of new housing, but they haven't done the infrastructure.
Infrastructure is critical.
Yes, they need a few people in who live there, the community, to get together, band together and say, hold a meeting and, you know, get all the Telstra people and the broadband people together and say, what's happening? Get all the local ISPs together. But it all depends. Ours all runs off Telstra, and then the other internet providers basically piggyback off them. Do you have a major one that does that in the US?
We have four. We have four. Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile.
Right. Yeah, I've got to feel those cards when I come over there. You never know which one to get.
Right.
And invariably, you always get the wrong one.
It depends upon what you want. If you're traveling across the country and you need service anywhere you want to go, you can go with Verizon.
Right.
Just knowing that you pay for it. You definitely pay for it.
Oh, okay.
If you want really fast service and really good coverage and you're in one single area, it really depends on the area. But I have found that T-Mobile works for me. So I actually get more service and I get better service where I am, since I'm mainly in one place. But if I go traveling and I leave more populated areas, then I do have issues with connectivity.
Right.
But that's part of the wonder. Hey, okay, I'm going from point A to point B, but in between A point one, I may not have cell phone coverage.
So you know what you do instead? You listen to a podcast like AU to AZ. So you have a few podcasts all lined up on your device so you can listen to those while you're driving or something and you've got no other coverage. Yes. That's what we do here in Australia. I've got to get some lined up for Wednesday because we're driving up to Sydney from Bendigo up to Sydney, which is an 8-9 hour drive. So I'll have to get a few podcasts lined up so I can listen to them and not worry that I may or may not have the service. Well, Rodney, back to the Chromebook versus MacBook Air. Is the keyboard lit on your Chromebook?
No.
Oh, so if you're in the dark, you can't see the keyboard?
You're in the dark, you're in the dark.
Now, I wonder if that's on all models or just the one you have, because that could be an issue, couldn't it? There may be some that you do, mightn't there? Do you think?
Right. In the one that I had, the keyboard was not lit.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that
What about the one you borrowed? Do you remember that one?
I think it was lit.
Yeah. Yeah. So they probably do have lit keyboards, I would say.
I'm pretty sure they would be lit.
Yeah. Yeah. So that helps you at 2 a.m. in the morning when you don't want to have lights on. Definitely. So Overall, when we're comparing these devices, I'm really thinking that the Chromebook perhaps really compares to an iPad. What do you think? More than the laptop? MacBook Air?
Yeah, in some places I can see where you would say that. But with an attached keyboard?
Yeah?
Yeah. I can see how you could say that, yeah. It makes sense.
Because, I mean, I wouldn't use an iPad for everything. You know, I've got one. I use it a lot of the time, but there are some things I wouldn't do on there because I'd rather do it on my laptop.
Right. But at the same time, too, what I can't think of. I mean, if you're going to play games, yeah, an iPad would work. Mm-hmm. If you're going to create a movie, well, you know, you could shoot it with your iPad because it's more mobile.
Actually, iMovie on the iPad is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You can do a lot of editing, have soundtrack. It's pretty good, iMovie on the iPad. Yeah, you can make it.
But then you'd have to buy that, though.
iMovie?
Yeah.
I think it comes with it now.
Comes with the iPad.
Like it came with your MacBook Air.
I'm going to check that out then.
Yeah.
I think hey, Jenny, do you have some money?
My iPad is really old, actually. I've got version 3. I forget what they're up to now, but my iPad is quite old. I haven't got money to go and buy a new one. I toss up whether to get a new iPad or a MacBook Air, you see.
Air.
Because the Air is really light and my MacBook Pro is quite heavy.
Air. I would go with the Air before I would go with an iPad. Yes, I would.
Yep, because you'd probably go with an Air before you'd go with a Chromebook also.
Wow.
but it's all, you know, the one thing that might really change your mind about it, though, is the cost. The cost is a huge difference. And if you had limited amounts of money, really, you would go for a Chromebook, wouldn't you? Because you still can do a lot of stuff on there that you would not be able to do if you had to, you know, have $1,000 for a MacBook Air. So if you really are budgeted, which most people are, that will sway them, I guess, wouldn't it? Then yes, they've just got to be able to afford the internet access.
Right. Mm. And the other reason why I went with a MacBook Air is because I realized that Apple does have a lot better production systems, namely iMovie and GarageBand, that I need to get working on my other podcast that I have.
Yeah.
And that is something that I've really wanted to get back to. Mm. And I didn't have the features. I didn't have the tools to do it. So now that I do, I can actually work on it and focus on it. So that is actually, that's also one of my goals for 2015 is to get back to my personal podcast.
Yeah, well, that'll be great. You had your one that was nice, short, sharp, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Tips? Were they tips? No, what did you call it?
T3, T-cubed. Right. Techie Turner's Tips, Tricks, and Thoughts.
That's right. I knew it was tips in there somewhere. Well, we'll be looking forward to those. They'll be great.
Yeah. Now I just need to find all my files again to put them in.
So old debate, new twist. Well, it's really, you know, I think we're a lot more open to new ideas these days. I'm a lot more open than I used to be, a solid Mac person, and I would only accept Mac and, you know, the whole rest of the world was no good, whereas now I would actually use a Chromebook. You know, I'd consider them. I did actually get sent one to demo and have a look at, and it sat there unpacked for a long time because I was too busy and really didn't realise they didn't let me know they'd sent it. So it got sent to school and put somewhere. And then I found out and got it out and had a little bit of a look at it, but it was one of those time issues.
Yeah.
A time issue. So it was probably put back in the thought chamber to think about another time.
Uh-huh.
But I was really quite interested in getting them as a third platform because I'm a many-to-many person. I like the kids to have many different platforms for many students. So, you know, we've got Windows, we've got Mac, and we've got iPods and iPads, and Chrome was going to be another really good feature to have so they could use them all. And then they come out fully rounded digital users.
And I think that's absolutely awesome to do and to give the kids that opportunity to have that exposure to all of the platforms. You're not stuck on one platform. You don't know where they're going to go, which one works for them or not. So it's best to provide all of the tools that they have access to in the real world and give it to them in school because school is the real world also.
Yeah. And, I mean, you do have a lot of multi-screens going on And one screen does this job and one screen does that job. They quite often, don't you? So kids actually like that as well. Mm. So I think we've done and dusted that debate.
Absolutely.
Done and dusted. Now, coming up, we're going to be having an interview with Mark Anderson from the UK. That's going to be pretty exciting, Rodney.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be like very challenging for our listeners, though, because we'll have the Aussie accent, the US, and then we're going to introduce the UK. Mark is a Google certified teacher.
Ooh.
And is also an Apple Distinguished Educator.
Wow.
So he's got lots of hats he's wearing. So he'll be very interested to listen to and find out his perspectives on things.
Let's hear what Mark has to say. So, you know, old debate, new twists can go in a lot of different ways, huh, Jenny?
They certainly can. Thanks, Rodney, for today.
Well, thank you so very much for today. And, you know, let's keep the conversation going. And those of you that are listening, please make sure that you check out the show notes. And if there's any additional information, you can always contact us via the comments in the podcast, as well as sending a tweet to us, AU2AZ podcast on Twitter. Or you can send us personally. I'm at Techie Turner, or you can reach Jenny at JJ Ash. And that's all we have. So have a great, great time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.